The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Isaiah this morning. The book of Isaiah. I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm glad you're here. And thankful for good music outside of mine, but thankful for the great music of living, He loved me, dying, He saved me, other specials that were sung. The words, the song Stand that was sung this morning was actually a camp song that we sang last year. Our choir did it, so I had a special place in my heart. But thank you so, so much for being here this morning and looking forward to God working in our hearts. And there's some faces I haven't met yet. Perhaps you're visiting, a guest, whatever, I'm not sure. I've only been here for a couple days. But either way, thank you for coming here and listening to what God has for us in His Word. For those of you that weren't here for Sunday school, my wife, normally, we do specials together. And my wife, in fact, if we were done with that special right there, normally I do that one as a solo, but she would say, "Why did you drop the key?" And I would say, "Well, because this morning my voice was, kind of a gravelly, lowery thing like that." And she said, "But we sang all morning," and she would have said, "Do it in the regular key." And so she would have gotten on to me. So right now I'm chiding myself. My wife is ever present with me. But either way, she normally is here, and we get to enjoy to be together, but she's really not feeling well at all. So pray for her. We've got a good long trip. I'll go back up to the house there, and we'll pack up the car real quick. It should be pretty much close to it. And then we'll hit the road. We've got about 13 hours by GPS travel, which by baby travel is like 3.5 days. No, it's only like maybe 17 or 18 hours. And so I really am, to be honest, I am pretty much tempted to leave here. Probably by the time all said and done, we'll leave around 3. And I'm thinking if I just drive straight through, I'll get in at 4 in the morning. My baby and wife can sleep through the night, and I can just make it there. My wife doesn't like it when I do those things, but it's so much easier. There's no traffic. There's no traffic, and I'm just kidding. I really don't speed very much, and unless I'm late for something, so I speed all the time. I like to probably do that, but we'll see what happens. We do got a trip home, and then we start off retreats there at the camp, and so I appreciate so much your care for us and hospitality and just taking care of us. Some of you guys don't realize the things the church does. We went out to eat the other night at Friendly's after church, got something, and someone took care of it. I appreciate that, and the pastor gave us some grocery money while we were here, and I do appreciate that. Those $4 really went a long way. I'm just teasing. He didn't do that. He gave us actually about $150. We appreciate that for meals, and there were several of you that even in spite of saying, we're okay on meals, you brought some meals, and I believe Marty did and brought us a... if she didn't bring it, maybe did she bring it? No, someone else did. Who brought us the? Hold on, the chicken and dumplings. Ah, you did. That was really nice of you. I thought it was all this time. I was thanking her for the meal. She said, "You're welcome" 3 times to me. She took for the credit. I'm just teasing. But thank you so much for that. And then Brother Frank dropped off a meal, a roasted chicken, and that was great. And so we just appreciate that very, very much. Do pray for us. If you don't receive our email updates, we send them out about once a week or maybe even once every 2 weeks. They're not laborious. They're not. They're meant to be just about a little snapshot of we were there at Camp Sunlight. We saw some good decisions. And now we're at Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Would you pray for us? Or maybe just a little highlight here and there. They're not laborious. But if you go to the website, evangelistchavez.com, you can put in your email address. We'll send those out. And we just want to keep our name. How many know the reality of out of sight, out of mind? It's very true that it's very easy to forget about things if it's not there, right there in front of you. And our real goal is literally to keep our name in front of you. So you might pray for our ministry that God would help us as we travel and as we preach, and God would help us to reach people and to help churches. And so if you would do that, that'd be a great blessing. If you are a Facebook person, my wife and I do Facebook. She really does it. I just kind of tag along in it. You can put your name there, unless you're Bethany. She asked to be friends like 6 months ago, and we denied it. And we were honest. We didn't want to be her friend, but she hounded us, so we became friends last night. And if you do Twitter, I do Twitter. And so, but we enjoy keeping in touch with people in that manner. And then Ty right here on the front row, check him out, brother. dressed up in the threads. Look at this guy. That's pretty impressive. It's all right, man. When you wear it with confidence. Don't wear it, bare your head in there. It looks pretty good. That's not too shabby. So anyways, I just wanted to give him props there. All right, we're in the book of Isaiah this morning. The book of Isaiah in chapter number 26. Let's stand together. Isaiah in chapter number 26. Isaiah chapter 26. I'm going to be honest with you this morning, all right? This is called bearing honesty. I am even at this point, as the words are coming out of my mouth, I want to be in Hebrews chapter 11. Like really, really bad. There's two messages this morning as I was praying and thinking about these things. And I'm looking at, in fact, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. It's a good passage. It's great. And it talks about faith. And it talks about promises of God. And I really want to be over there really bad. So what's probably going to happen is I'm normally a really short preacher. I only preach normally about 20 minutes, give or minus 30 minutes, you know, give or take away 30 minutes. I'm okay, about a 40-minute preacher. And I'm really wanting to be in Hebrews. So you're going to hear some references from Hebrews chapter 11, probably over there in Hebrews chapter 20, Isaiah 26. Let's start in Hebrews 11. Okay, I'm just being honest with you. I'm in both places. They're two different messages. All right, Hebrews chapter 11. Look down at verse number 6. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." And so this verse is very honest. This verse is very transparent. He says, listen, you are not going to be able to please God without faith. You don't have a chance in the world. There's not a sliver, there's not an iota, there's not even an ounce of ability to please God unless you have faith. But on the contrast, the Bible is indicating that instead, with no faith, you cannot please God, but instead, with faith, you have full potential for pleasing God. Now look at Isaiah chapter number 26. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse number 3. The Bible says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." I'm going to, just as a, maybe I can say as a heartbeat. I'm going to preach from Isaiah, but can I tie something together for the heartbeat? In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible said in verse number 6, without faith it is impossible. The word impossible comes from the word possibility or power. It has the idea of strength to be able to. The Bible says that without faith you have no strength whatsoever. It is impossible. It is without strength. Strength is not even in the picture to be able to please God. So without faith, you have no chance at all. You have no ability to please God. In contrast, look at Isaiah. He says, "In the Lord," verse number 4, "trusting in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Everlasting strength. I don't want to title the message. I'm being honest with you. I have a title here, but I really am going to be honest. I'm being honest. I'm going to hybrid a thought from Isaiah chapter 26. And so the original thought was, "Where are you hiding?" But if I could say the thought of the message is, "Where's your strength?" Let's ask the Lord for His help this morning. Lord in heaven, I look to You with all of my heart this morning. Lord, I really don't want to be transparent with people as some type of excuse of where I'm at. Lord, I want them to know that You're bubbling this in my heart. And God, I pray that the truth of the Word of God would hit hearts. Lord, without a doubt, there's going to be some energy, some excitement, some explanation, some trying to convince people of this, some illustration, God. But Lord, I ask that the truth of what the Bible is teaching here would change us to understand the role of faith in pleasing you. God, we love You. God, we thank You that You give us clear instruction on the greatest desire that You have for our life, and that is to please You. Lord, we love You. Help us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I want to preach this morning on this thought, if I could, on where is your strength. And the thought behind it is trying to grab and to comprehend the subject of something that we refer to as faith. I mention very much when I preach the subject of faith. I will often say, now let's talk about what faith is and let's describe faith. And here's the reason why I made this a theme of my own heart and ministry in my own life. Because of the verse in Hebrews chapter 11, he says, without faith it's impossible to please God. In fact, the Bible says over six times in the entire Word of God that the just man, the just person, the righteous person is going to live by faith. The Bible said in Isaiah, the Bible says that faith, believing in God, trusting God, is that which keeps a man. So let's start off with this. Let's talk about simply the role of faith in a person's life. Now, there's a lot of people who believe in God. There's a lot of people who have beliefs. But the Bible said in the book of in Hebrews 11 that it's not faith alone that pleases God. He describes faith by saying, for he that believes God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So what he's saying, it's not faith in anything that pleases God. Don't for one minute think, well, if I believe that Buddha can help me, if I believe in powers in trees and in leaves, if I believe in myself, and you've heard people, just believe in yourself, just believe in what you can do. That's not going to help you at all when it comes to getting to heaven, when it comes to making the God of heaven happy. What God is saying is there is a right type of faith that we must have. And he describes it in Hebrews 11 by this. He says, he that believeth God. So in other words, the person that says, I'm going to be a person that believes, follows, trusts, and indeed places my faith in God himself. Here's how he describes it. You must be a person that believes that he is. What is that saying? It doesn't mean I believe that God exists. It means I believe that God is who he says he is. That God is I am. When God says, I love this world, he means it. When God says, I'm a holy God, he means it. So faith comes to God and believes all that God says he is. Now watch this. How do we know who he is? We don't know who he is by just making up thoughts about him. We don't know who he is by just looking around and saying, well, you know, I kind of personally believe. No. We know who he is by what he says he is through his word. And so the Bible says this, faith is saying, God, you say this, I believe that, and I pursue what you say. That's what faith is. Let me show you when a person got saved. When a person gets saved, a person is lost. They're without Christ. They're in their sin. They're not on their way to a place called heaven. So it starts off by saying, what does God say about the issue of heaven or hell? Well, God says that because of sin, we can't go to heaven. God says he's a holy God. God says you and I are not holy. God says that a holy God and an unholy people can't just get together. Something has to be done so everything's okay. So God said, I will send Jesus Christ down to this earth. He will die on the cross, watch this, for your sins. He will be buried and he rose from the dead. And God says, if you will believe on Jesus Christ and what he did for you, then you will be saved. He that cometh to God, you're going to approach God in this area of I want to go to heaven, I want my sins forgiven. He that cometh to God must believe that he is what he says he is. He is who he says he is. He is the Savior. He is holy. He paid for my sins. And you must diligently seek him. Diligent seeking means I turn towards him. I want what he says. So that's what faith is. Faith is simply looking to God for what he says. So that's the thought that's burning in my heart right now. But now let's take it over and apply it to Isaiah chapter number 26. Watch what happens. Isaiah chapter number 26, I want you to see a couple things. We're going to look at, first of all, the promise of faith. We're going to look at the promise of faith. He gives a great big promise to you and I who trust in him. Then the Bible says, number two, we're going to talk about the provision of faith. What do I get when I trust in him? And number three, we're going to look at the persistence of faith. And what does he mean by keeping my faith in Jesus Christ? Number one, let's look at the promise of faith. Here's what he says. Verse number three, speaking to the nation of Israel, speaking of their restoration, speaking of how God wanted all along for the nation of Israel to turn to him, just like he wants every person to turn to him and to restore their life. Here's what he says. The Bible says in verse number three, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Now watch what he said. Number one, I want you to see the promise. God himself makes a promise. Now, I told you why I'm spilling over to Hebrews 11 so much. Because in Hebrews 11, God makes a big deal of the word promise. If you were to study Hebrews 11, the word promise occurs time after time after time again. Here's the reason why. There is no such thing as believing in what God says except for the fact that what God says is true. There's a promise of God to me. In other words, okay, let's say that a person believes with all their heart that baptism can get them to heaven. I just believe that the baptism can get me to heaven. Okay, what are you basing your faith on? Well, I'm basing my faith on that baptism can get me to heaven. I know, but where did you learn that information? In other words, is that true? If that's not true, then you're not believing anything. You're just believing a lie. You see, it has to be true before it can really indeed be something to grab onto. In other words, God never said in His Word one time that baptism is what saves a person. God never said that good works save a person. God never said that going to church saves a person. God never said that everybody's automatically saved. God says that you are only saved from your sins and from hell when you place your faith in Jesus Christ. He saves you. That's the promise. My point is this. The whole Word of God is replete with promises, isn't it? All over, the Word of God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. For those of you that are saved, here's a promise for you. The Bible says, my God shall supply all your needs. The Bible says, trust the Lord with all thy heart, lean not to thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him. And guess what? Here's the promise. He shall direct thy paths. The Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart. There's blessing for those that are pure in heart. My point is this. The Word of God is full of promises. When you come to Isaiah chapter number 26, God makes you and me an amazing promise. Here's what He says. God promises you. In other words, He's saying, here is what you can latch your faith on. It's a promise. I do not lie. Here's the promise. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. How many of you ever heard people go, peace? Remember that back in the, I don't know what it was, 80s or 90s? People were like, yo, peace, dude. Peace, peace, peace. What up? Peace, peace. I mean, it was everything. And I don't know where it came from. Peace in the Middle East. Rain in Spain. You know, there was all types of little word and cliches. And the word peace has been used for centuries. In fact, the Bible says that when Paul would open up the Bible, or open up his books, many times he would say, grace and peace from God the Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. What does the word peace mean? Well, the Hebrews would say it like this. What's the Hebrew word? Anybody know the Hebrew word? Shalom. That's exactly right. They would say shalom. Now, when you and I today think of peace, you and I think of the word of, well, just no trouble. Peace means, well, my wife and I are not fighting with them. We think right now of the war that's going on across the world between countries, and we think, we just need peace. And peace would mean these people who have machine guns and these people who have bombs, they decide, well, I'm not going to bomb you. That is not really the idea of the word peace. The word peace doesn't just mean, well, there's no turmoil and we're okay. The word peace, shalom, goes beyond that. By the way, that's the word behind there. The word peace has the idea of perfect, whole, and complete goodness. That's what it has to do with. It has the idea. In fact, the word here, the Bible says perfect peace. Actually, in Hebrew, the idea is, if you read in Hebrew, it's shalom, shalom. It's a peace that is completing peace. It is peace and peace and peace. What they're trying to say is a replete, never-ending, continual goodness, 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 wholesomeness, 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 satisfaction over and over and over, contentment, joy, joy, celebration, everything you can imagine of all the, can I say this? The good things that are to be desired, He said, those are yours again and again and again and again. Let's pause right there. That is an amazing promise. Let's think of anything else that can offer you that. Can money offer you goodness, goodness, goodness in all areas of life? In home, in marriage, with kids, in work, in environment, in everything, situation of life. Can money offer that? No, there's no way. Well, can fame offer you that? Can acceptance by the people around you offer you that? Can popularity offer you that? Can a bigger house make you happy? Can another car make you happy? Could that baseball game continually offer it over and over and over again? Can sports do that? Can entertainment and the movie scene and watching movies and TV and television, can it offer that? Can relationships offer that? You see, what God is saying is off the charts. There's no doubt about it that I could watch a baseball game and I could get a sense of joy for just, I could get a sense of shalomness, peaces for just a second of, yeah, but it doesn't last forever. When they won the World Series last, whoever your team was, you didn't go, yeah, for the next 14 years, nope. It was, yeah. What are we doing now? It doesn't last. You see, there are forms of joy, there's in that, but what God is saying, look this way, Ty, look this way, what he's saying is this, he's saying that God says, I promise you an absolute perfect whole contentment and peace. That is amazing. Let me ask you this question. Do you have that this morning? If not, it's not because God doesn't offer it. But Chris, you don't know what's going on between me and my wife. You know, the truth of the matter is I don't. I really don't. I come to church, I see you, you smile at me, and I smile at you. We don't know what's going on behind those closed doors. We don't. Chris, you don't know what's going on in my finances right now. It is just, I can't even, I don't. Well, Chris, you don't know what's going on in health, with the kids, with just the stresses of ministry, with just life, and you don't understand. I don't. You know what? This is important. But I didn't make you a promise. I didn't make you the promise and say, hey, listen, it's all going to be okay. You would say, Christian, you don't understand. You don't. These sins and these difficulties, struggles, you can't make that promise. You're right, I can't. But the Bible says God can. And I want you to see something amazing. God's promises are always astounding. Here's an amazing promise. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. What? You will rescue me from my sins and from hell. You will wash away all of my sins. You will forgive me of everything I've ever done. You will forgive me not in the things I've done alone, but in who I am. You will accept me. You will allow me into your presence. You will rescue me all simply if I believe on Jesus Christ. That's an amazing promise. You see, and here's what God says. God will keep you in perfect peace. Number one, the promise. Let me show you number two this morning. Let me show you number two, though. Here's what he says. Thou will keep it in him in perfect peace, but he's not done. The Bible says, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted thee. Number two, I want you to see the provision of faith. He says, because he trusteth thee, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Now, I want you to see something amazing. Back in Hebrews 11, when the Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please God, what we think in our brain is if I have faith, I suddenly, faith is the ability. I can please God because I have faith. In other words, we equate faith equals ability. The faith that I have is the actual ability to please God. That's not it at all. Faith is nothing. Faith is not an object. Faith is not a tangible thing. Faith is a dependence upon God. Now watch. The Bible says that if we have faith in God, he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder. Watch that. When you believe God, he is the rewarder. He is always the giver. The person that believes in Jesus Christ, not only for salvation, but in everything, you're believing God to do something for you that you cannot do for yourself. So here's what he says. He says that Isaiah, believe on God, trust on God, continue to trust in God. Here's the reason why. Because in God is everlasting strength. What he's saying is you have no strength on your own. We know that because without faith, it's impossible to please God. But the moment you trust in Jesus Christ and the continuation of trusting in Jesus Christ, you are tapping into the everlasting strength of God. I want you to see something amazing. The Bible said that in the Lord Jehovah, who is Jehovah? Jehovah is the one that is referred to as I am that I am. Do you know what I am that I am means? It means I am fully sufficient. There is nothing in God that has need of anything at all. And that's not us. Everyone here has to have air or you will die. You have to have air. You cannot live. You have to have water or you will die. You have to have food
or you will die. You are forever dependent. You are not self-existing. You are depending upon blood vessels. You're depending upon all these things that were given to you in order to live. You're dependent. We are constantly dependent, but not God. God is self-sufficient. Now watch this. He said, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. I want to help you something. I want you to see the provision of faith. The word everlasting strength, the word strength is the word for, forgive me that I keep on pulling up words, like, but the Hebrew language was a very colorful language. When they wanted to describe loyalty, they would use the word dog. Just in case you were wondering, that's the word Caleb in English. If your name is Caleb, it means loyalty, but what it means is dog. But you can refer to either one. But because dogs are loyal, that's they use word pictures. So the word for everlasting strength is the word for mountain, cliff, rock. I'm going to show you something amazing. All right, I'm going to show you something amazing. Billy, come up here. Come up here, Billy. Yeah, come on. You can do. Yeah, come on up here, Billy. Billy's a pretty buff dude. He just is. He has guns hanging from his arms. It's pretty hard. And he was the pitcher there at. He was an amazing pitcher there at camp. Of course, it was underhand, lobbing a thing. But anyways, he's a pretty amazing guy. I'm going to show you a unique illustration that I thought. You know what? These people, they're okay. They're okay with illustrations. So I want you to come up here, Billy, and I want you to stand. I want you to stand right here, and I want you to face this direction. Very good. All right, Otavius, I want you to come here. This is going to be fun. Otavius, come here. This is going to be exciting. This is just pure. Adam, I want you to come here too. Now watch this. Now, Billy is a pretty tough dude. He really is, okay? He's got his own ability, his own strength, his own strength. But strength does not change. I want you to, whatever strength Billy is right now, that's where he's at. But when the object that has to be moved increases or decreases, it accentuates how strong or how weak he is. So in other words, he's a pretty strong dude. Adam, I want you to come here, and I want you to sit down right there with your legs crossed. Now, Billy, I want you to grab on like this to Adam's arm like this. Scoot this way, Otavius, and I want you to drag him across the stage. All right, this is going to be exciting. Drag him across the stage. Now, Billy can do that. Now, pause. Here's the reason why. Because the whatever Billy's strength is, it can compete against this, if I can call him Boulder. Here's what he is. Here's how big he is. Here's his weight. His strength can move this strength. We understand that. Now watch this. If I were to take both of them now, sit down next to them, and let me have Ty, pay attention. I need your help. You're going to come up here. You're going to sit down. Oh, you don't want to do it? You, come up here. Come up here. Good, good, good. Come up here too. I want you to grab onto him. And then Big Bill. Are you Big Bill too? You come up here too. That's a good man. That's a good man. That should be great. Wow. That's gonna be exciting. All right, yeah, you're gonna come. You got this. You got this, brother. And I want you to come and sit down in the mix too. You're gonna sit down, and I want all four of you guys to link up arms. Now, this is a simple illustration. I know it's kind of funny on Sunday morning. Why are you doing this? My point is this: Billy could move that because it wasn't locked to the ground. The weight wasn't as big. Now, watch, Billy, grab on, and I want you to move the entire group. The entire group has to move. You gotta grab on right here. There you go. The entire group has to move. Okay, Billy. Billy almost broke Otavius. Okay, thank you so much. Thank you so much. You can give him a round of applause. Great job. I know that's very simple. It's very simple, but watch this. The pretty simple concept is Billy could affect when it was just Adam. He could affect that. His strength could compete against what that was, that thing's strength. But when you intensified it and made it bigger, he couldn't compete against it. Now watch this. The Bible said down there in verse number 4, trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So keeping it the illustration, watch this. He says, I want you to trust in God because God is not some small rock. God is not some small pebble that can be easily kicked around and moved. God is not a little pebble that the moment some difficulty happens in life, he suddenly shifts and you can lose all your strength. No. God is not just a big rock. God's not just a gigantic rock. God's not just an enormous, mammoth, colossal rock. God is an everlasting rock. You know what that means? That means nothing at all has a chance at all at competing with the strength of God. It is unmovable. You see, watch this. He's saying that if you put your trust in finances, your finances and your money are like small little rocks. You put your confidence in money, they're like small little rocks. And any little thing, it takes so much as you lose a job. I can move those rocks. It's movable. You put your confidence in relationships, it takes one little fight and it's useless. You put your confidence in health, it's like little rocks. Someone could come along, kick them around. And the moment anything said, the doctor says, I need you to sit down, all of a sudden your life shatters because those things can be moved. But here's what God is saying. He said, Israel, he's saying church, he's saying Christians, put your trust in me. Here's the reason why. Because I am an everlasting rock. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It cannot compete. My strength is everlasting. But Chris, you don't understand. No. You don't understand. He's an everlasting rock. But Chris, this is really hard. But you don't understand. He can conquer anything. And indeed, he has. If he can conquer my sin, if he can rescue me from a place called hell, surely he can bring me out of my discouragement. Surely he can help me to turn my eyes when something's inappropriate. Surely he can help me to control my tongue. Surely he can help me when I'm overwhelmed with what's going on in my situation, in ministry, or life, and job. And these decisions, you don't just know. These decisions are big. These decisions are like sand compared to the gigantic rock. And the sand that beats upon that rock, it can't move that rock at all. You see what he's saying? He's saying that your strength, when it comes to faith, it's not found that, oh, I've got a large amount of faith, so I got a large amount of strength. No. What he's saying is, your faith placed in God, God is your strength. You see, that's how these men in Hebrews chapter 11 please God. When we think of the men of Hebrews 11, we think, wow, if I could just be like this guy named Abel. Oh, he walked with God. I just couldn't do that. If I could just be like this man named Abram who stepped out in faith to a land. I mean, I just don't have the strength. I couldn't step out in faith to a land that God hasn't even showed me yet. I couldn't do that. Oh, if I could just be like this man. And the list goes on and on with all these, this guy Noah, that everybody was against him. Everybody said the world's not going to end in a flood. And he said, yes, it is. God says so. Man, I just don't have that courage that Noah had. Exactly. We think, well, if I had what these guys had, well, wait a second. What these guys had was not strength and ability, some superhuman ability to conquer the world. No. These guys, look this way, had faith. They had faith. And God gave Abel the ability to walk with God. And God gave Noah the fortitude in a world that was against him to say, I'm going to build the ark because I know God's going to send a flood. And God gave Abraham the ability to say, you know what? I'm going to step forward. I don't know where I'm going, but God said go, so I'm just going to start going, and I know that he's going to come through. He will guide me. He's never let me down. You see, faith is not, well, I just got to be strong and have faith. You don't be strong and have faith. Watch this. You have faith, and then you are strong. That's what he's saying. I don't get strong. I just got to be strong. I just really got to work on the get strong and have faith. No. Faith is saying, God, I can't do this except that you help me. Help me, God. It's the same way a person gets saved. I don't get change my life and turn over a new leaf and become a good person, then place my faith in Jesus Christ. No. I say I'm not a good person and I need Jesus Christ to save me. I place my faith in Jesus and he keeps the promise and he saves me. And the same thing is true in my Christian life. I trust God for what I need. What do I need? I need a lot of things. Sometimes I need patience and I don't have it. So God, I trust in the everlasting rock. You will give me perfect peace and the blessedness and the wholesomeness of patience. I'm looking to you. Help me to be patient, God. Some of us in this room, you need the peace, the shalomness, the wholesomeness of I need to be patient right now. Some of us need the opposite. God, I know I'm supposed to step forward and do this, but I'm nervous, God. I'm worried about switching these jobs. I'm worried about this move, God. Wait a second. The peace of God which passes all understanding will be yours if you keep your mind stayed upon him. Number one, the promise of faith. Number two, the provision of faith. And number three, the persistence of faith. Watch what happens when we finish this morning. He says, now watch this, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, notice these next two words, is stayed on thee. because he trusteth in thee. Now watch in verse number 4. Trust ye in the Lord forever. Now I want you to see something. Number 3, I want you to see the persistence of faith. In other words, when a person trusts Jesus Christ to save them, Lord Jesus, I ask you to save me from my sins. I ask you to take me to heaven, whatever the prayer is. I place my faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, in one act, the moment you trust him, boom, he comes and he has rescued you now from hell. He's rescued you from your sins. You're on your way to heaven. You become a child of God. Boom, it's done. He did his work. The Christian life then continues, not in the area of I need to be saved from hell, but I need to be rescued in all the things that happen in my life. So what God says is you have to have a faith that continues. You see, you can't say, God, I trust you for patience, and then just move on. No, no, no. He says you will have the peace of God, you will have the wholeness of God, as your mind, watch this, is stayed on thee. You know, when the Bible talks about the word mind, you and I today, we will separate the mind and the heart. I understood it up here, but I didn't get it here. And there is a sense of which I understand that's true. But the word mind in the Bible, especially the Old Testament, has the idea of who you are in your thoughts of life. Not just like your mental brain. Well, my mind can calculate 2 plus 2 equals 4. That's fine. That's good. That's well. But that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about who you are in your thoughts of life. In other words, a person goes to church because they think, they desire, they want, they choose. All that is your mind. You go to church. You chose to come this morning. Praise God. I'm glad you did. With your mind, your inside, you came to church. Maybe if you're a kid, maybe you didn't. Maybe your mom drug you here. I don't want to go to church. Shut up while you're in church. And inside, your mind is not here. It's true. That the mind is the inside. Here's what he says. He says, I promise you, I will keep you in perfect whole peace. I will give you victory. I will help you to win. I will help you to tell us about Christ. I will help you to walk with me. I will help you to get things. It's all that encompasses all that God desires and that we would desire for our life living for God. He says, I promise to you, because I can give it all to you, I have everlasting strength for the person whose mind is stayed on God. The word stayed means to stay there. Don't you know that there's a lot of things competing for our minds? Man, television, entertainment, sports, stresses, work, ministry, competing for our brain, and all the time competing for our attention, our mind. And God says, you will always have perfect peace, shalom, shalom, as your mind says, you know what, I'm not letting anything, nope, God is good, nope, God will come through. Nope, I'm not going to even entertain this thought that God's not going to provide. I'm not going to even entertain this thought that I can't read my Bible. I'm not going to even entertain that. I'm not going to entertain this thought that this trial is going to take me down. I'm not going to entertain this thought that I can't live the Christian life. I'm not going to entertain this thought that I don't know what to do. I can't make these decisions. No, no, no. God says he's my guide. God says he's my victory. God says he's my peace. God said he's my satisfaction. God says he'll forgive. I'm not going to entertain this thought that God's not going to forgive it this time. God's not going to forgive it. That plagues the mind. God won't forgive you this time. God won't forgive you this. No. And your mind leaves off of God and starts to running for other rocks, as it were, to hold you up against this thing. And God says, no, no, no. Return back. I will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on thee. Now watch these words. Because he trusteth in thee. The word for trust means to hide for refuge. The word trust always, 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 always carries with it the connotation of there's something bad, run to what can protect you. That's what it means. So the word faith, trust, means to hide. I'll never forget, I was, what the key here of this is not just hide once, but a continual hiding in God. I'll never forget, I was probably around 11 years old. And I mentioned this morning in Sunday school that I lived kind of deserty in a trailer park area when I was growing up until about 14 years old, and between my house and the house behind us were all these reeds, and these reed-type things would fall over. They kind of make a brush, and there was hills and dirt piles and stuff like this. It was deserty. It really was. I'll never forget that one of the favorite things that we used to do as kids, I would have friends from the church spend the night at my house, And we loved to play hide and seek in our backyard, my backyard, because it wasn't that it was huge, but there was no fences between you and the next guy's yard. And at night, at 11 o'clock at night, if you were really quiet, which is the object of the game, you could be hiding in the next door neighbor's doghouse, and they would, you know, the dog might know. But either way, you would just, it was just the game we played. So I'll never forget that we were playing a game of hide and seek, as it were, and I was the, I don't remember, maybe it was capture the flag, actually, now that I think about it. Either way, there was a guy named Tim Sibley, who was my friend, and he was there, and he hit. He was on the opposite team. And I was, whatever I was, whether I was the last person looking for somebody or whatever it was, everybody was left found except for Tim. And they called out. I was like, well, where's Tim? They called out and said, Tim, don't come out. Tim, don't come out. Chris has to find you. So they were all walking. I'm like, it was dark, and you're trying to figure out. You got flashlights. You're looking around. And you, I mean, we've been playing this, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. All the places are out. I have no clue where Tim's at. So finally, I'm just like, guys, I have no clue. He's in a good spot. I have no clue. To Tim, don't come out. We're just going to see if he can, we'll kind of clue him in. So sure enough, they started saying, okay, he's in from this part of the yard to this part. He's this part back. And I'm looking with the flashlight, and I know my yard. It's not that it's a, there's trees everywhere. There's not gigantic rocks to hide behind. It's just this, these kind of reeds. And so I kind of looking through it. He's got to be behind this, a bush of reed or bushes here, and I can't find him. I keep going and walking, and finally I'm like, I don't know where he's at. They're like, all right. He's within 8 feet of you right now, or 10 feet of you. And I'm like, that is not even possible. There is nothing here. Don't move, Tim. Don't move, Tim. I'm like, I have no clue. And I was standing there, and all of a sudden, guys, I have no idea where. And all of a sudden, right when I made that next step, they started cracking up. And they said, Tim. And all of a sudden, he moved, and he was underneath my foot. I was like, oh, I jumped up, and I was stepping on him. He had gone underneath all the reeds. He'd gone, buried himself. He, in fact, pulled them down on top of himself and so much buried him down in the grass and these reed things, I had no clue he was there. That's a perfect example of a guy that no matter how close it is, no matter how hard, when I'm 55 feet away, staying hidden is easy. But as I approach, man, you better stay hidden. You better not move, because the closer you are, the more you're going to be, duh. And the truth of the matter is this. Oftentimes, those things start crowding in, and God says, stay hidden. Stay on me. No matter how hard it screams, oh, everything's good, you don't need God, or everything's horrible, you better run right now. No. Stay upon the Lord. Well, you know, this whole visitation thing, you know, I'm really thinking about doing, all of a sudden Satan wears up and says, you know, no, you can't do that. You know, you're not that type of person. What happened? Oh, yeah, I can't do that. And you run to yourself. No, stay running to God. No, God, you gave me the Holy Spirit. You promised that, and you will give me the ability to talk to people in my personality. And God, I'm staying upon you. Well, it's easy to give when we have all the money in the world, but when all of a sudden it gets really tight, and that same preacher still says, you know, we need to give. Why does he do that? Because he's a money grubber, right? No, because the Bible says where your treasure is, you'll be a big indicator of where your heart's at. And your money reflects very quickly how quickly your heart jumps around. You can trust God. No, you can't trust God. You can trust God. No, you can't trust God. And it jumps around. You don't stay hidden, as it were. And then when the things get really tight, that's the time to get really locked down, as it were, and say, God, I'm going to stay fixed on you. But how many times have in our life is something just, every wind of doctrine just blows and distracts, or some entertainment, or some temptation, or some trial, or some situation, or some people, or can I say it just like this? Life in general gets us off of God. And here's what he says. I promise you, I absolutely promise you, I will keep you in perfect peace. I promise you the goodness of goodness, the joy of joy, the blessing of blessing. I promise you everything. If you'll keep your mind stayed on me, you know why? Because in anything in your life, I have everlasting strength. Everlasting strength. The reality of faith is simply this. Faith is putting your trust and reaching for strength from something. From something. God has challenged us, draw your strength from Him. So let me ask you this question. What have you been drawing your strength from?
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.